Harper Audio presents All She Ever Wished For by Claudia Carroll, read by Caroline Lennon, Sophie Harkness and Kevin Healy.
Prologue. Valentine's Day. Dublin. 2 years ago. In this day and age, is there anything that says, I love you, more than a chub padlock fastened tight onto a bridge? And like a growing number of landmarks around the world, the Ha'penny Bridge is only common down in them. You'll often catch couples sneakily fastening locks to the metal grills on either side of the bridge's arch, pledging undying love, weather permitting, then tossing the key down into the River Liffey beneath. Every red-letter date in the calendar without fail, you can be guaranteed the Ha'penny Bridge will groan under the weight of all these tiny little love locks, with particular spikes around Valentine's Day and New Year. After all, it's a romantic and slightly different way to show your commitment to that someone special, isn't it? Plus, it sure as hell beats a bunch of overpriced red roses from Tesco. But every so often, you'll see a forlorn single revisiting a lock, maybe touching it wistfully, then sadly walking away. And you'll find yourself wondering what their story could possibly be. Like tonight, for instance. A woman was standing tall and proud beside one such lock, and from behind, you'd think absolutely nothing at all was the matter with her. She had choppy, blonde, bang-on-trend hair and stood ramrod straight with her head held high as she stared out over the Liffey swirling beneath. It was only when you caught her profile sideways on you could see how upset she was. This woman looked all out of place here. There was something way too regal and composed about the way she stood all alone on the bridge, while backpackers in their puffer jackets and exhausted tourists barged past her on their way to and from the pubs and restaurants of Temple Bar. No way was a lady this classy and elegant on her way to some booze-up or hen night in Temple Bar, that was for certain. She was older, late 30s at a guess, slim and elegant, in red-soled Louboutin high heels and huddling a blonde fur coat around her shoulders to ward off the icy February rain and chill. Real fur, too, you could tell at a glance. She had no umbrella either, but didn't seem to care that she was slowly getting drenched. Instead, she just stood right beside the lovelocks, staring out over the river and clinging onto the coat, silent, unchecked tears running down her coldly angular face. But if this lady thought she was passing by anonymously and completely unnoticed, she was wrong. At that exact moment, a much younger woman, taking a shortcut across the bridge, spotted her. And even though she was running late for a movie screening, suddenly found herself stopping dead in her tracks. Because she'd recognised the lady standing proudly beside all the lovelocks. As would anyone who'd bothered to look closely enough. This was Kate King. The Kate King. There was hardly anyone in the country who wouldn't have known who she was, barring if they'd lived inside a cave for the last 15 years. Everyone knows a glamazon like Kate King. Or at least everyone thinks that they do. She's the type who's forever in the papers flaunting her statement homes. And yes, that's homes, plural. Or gracing high society dues. Or else maybe perched on a TV sofa, discussing her charity work. Always glossy and smiley and skinny, with her filthy rich husband never too far from her side. Kate King really was the woman who had it all. But why the woman who had it all was now crying on a bridge in public in the lashing rain was quite another thing. It was a bit like stumbling across the Queen bawling her eyes out over the Thames, one of those things that you just couldn't imagine happening. Tess hesitated. She was dead late for the movie now, and Bernard would probably be furious with her, but it felt wrong to just walk by when there was someone beside her clearly distressed and needing help. Kate King really did seem to be in a right state. Supposing she was on the verge of doing something stupid, like throwing herself over the bridge. Then Tess would have to read all about it in the next day's papers, knowing that she might have been able to do something, but instead chose to keep on walking, just so she could be on time for some obscure Mexican art house movie.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?